In 2023, a crack commando unit of retro podcasters joined forces on a panel at LA Comic-Con, but were sent to Comic-Con jail for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped. Today, still wanted by 80s nerds, they are very easy to find. If you have an 80s nostalgia problem, if no one else can help, maybe you can hire the Night Boys.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this month's episode of 80s Kids Unite, the crossover podcast everyone has been waiting for. Or, well, they've already had because we're on episode 5. But, what's up? I don't know where this is going. I'm Corey, joined by Zach, Diallo, Dustin, and by proxy, Paul. What's up, everybody?
He's here in the universe. He's here in the universe, and he will be here in spirit form tonight.
That's right. That's right. And this month, we are, well, we're kind of modifying one of Rob's picks. So our buddy Rob on Patreon suggested that we talk about our favorite Nintendo games. And, you know, it started with us saying, okay, maybe we'll pick a piece and then maybe, a disappointing video game. And then we kind of circled back around, like, let's just pick one. And then we decided that if we pick one, it should probably be the most disappointing one, because that's going to probably lend itself to the most interesting conversation and interesting picks. Also, too, I can't just pick one favorite NES game. There's just way too many out there.
Well, I also think, sorry to interrupt you, Corey, but I also think it was
Corey.
Are you really sorry?
I'm not really sorry.
He was on such a roll.
Guys and gals, we are feisty tonight.
I was gonna say Diallo was the one that suggested to have one like worst pick, and then it kind of evolved into, well, why don't we just do one pick overall? Make it a worst one. We can do a watch list later.
That explanation isn't making any sense. I just want to point that out. You just said it was Diallo's idea to do one. So we did one. We decided to do one after we, like, you.
Zach,
it was the same.
He started in media res. He started in the middle of the story.
Yes.
And he didn't kind of tell you the
You interrupted Corey to clarify badly. I would say. I'm not
trying to give Diallo a shout out.
No. You should give Diallo a shout out. But Diallo, I believe this is how it went down. I think Diallo said, Corey said, what do you guys want to do? You want to do best and worst? And I think Diallo was like, worst is where it's at. And I was like, let's just do one, you know, whatever we said best. And then Diallo was like, no, I think hate sells was the quote. Hate sells. We said, yes.
Yeah, hate,
and
hate
then we
sells.
Said, let's do one worst or most disappointing. Because I think disappointing is a little different than worst, right?
Yeah,
I think so too. Okay. Anyway, Zach, yes. Please continue. Sorry.
Well, I think this kind of illustrates how, you know, it's like herding cats with this, the Night Boys.
I actually
threat.
Have a different version of that story, too. So.
I think you should tell
like,
it.
There's
you
like five different versions of that story.
Like, it's like the Gospels of the Bible. There's like four official true stories of Jesus Christ.
By the way, so this is relevant to tonight. I sent, right before we went online, I sent a commercial to Bible Adventures, which is an NES game. I was kind of combing the catacombs of like worst titles from NES, and this one popped up a lot on people's lists. Bible Adventures, the NES game, you could buy it for $44.95 back in the day, and the commercial itself is gold.
So are you guys getting hungry?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Do you ever worry that they're playing too much Nintendo?
Oh, not anymore. See, Matt has Bible Adventures. They're actually learning Bible stories while they're playing Nintendo.
Quick, get that Bible quote before you run out of power.
Bible Adventures features three games in one cartridge. Noah's Ark, Save Baby Moses, and David and Goliath. A must for every family with Nintendo. Call 1-800-77-BIBLE. That's 1-800-77-BIBLE.
The game you know, after watching the first few minutes of it, it's pretty wild. It kind of looks like a ripoff of Super Mario Brothers, but like one of the, there's like four adventures. Anyways, I think I need to play Bible Adventures in the near future.
Hey, Zach, I take it back. That music is, I have heard that music in church.
Right. Yeah, right. Thank
from
you.
From the game.
Yeah.
And it was the 8-bit version that you heard in church, right?
that would get me to go to church.
I know. I was like, that actually, as it was coming out of my mouth, it was meant to be like some kind of jab at the church. But I was like, you know what? That actually would have made it better. Guys, let's dig into this because I think we're going to have some fun discussions here. We had a bit going earlier that most of these were LJN picks, but it's kind of now gone 50-50. But Zach, why don't you bring Paul into this? Why don't we start with Paul's pick?
Okay, sure. And also, too, when we did our LA Comic-Con panel way back when, last year, Dustin had chosen... Robbie the Robot, right, from Nintendo. And when we first were talking about 80s nostalgia and 80s Kids Unite, you said we all kind of collectively agreed that there were going to be some things that we remember fondly and held up once we had them. And then there were other things that crashed and burned the minute we bought them. And the Robot was the one that was a huge disappointment to Dustin in his life. And I think this kind of tags on to that. We use that as the cover art, right, for the episode.
Yeah, no, that's why I picked it, because I was like, I have to tie it back into our very first live episode when Dustin just went off on a rant about the Rob the Robot.
And point of clarification, it's not Robbie, it's just Rob, because he stands for Robotic Operating Buddy.
Thank you for clarifying
a useless acronym, a useless device, but
my robotic operating buddy.
But I never called him Robbie.
My robotic operating buddy.
He didn't deserve that fun nickname.
My robotic operating buddy and me.
Okay, so Paul's pick for tonight is A Nightmare on Elm Street, the NES game from LJN. It was a four-player game, which I guess is kind of a big deal back in 1989. Well, it came out in October of 90, so it's technically a 90s game, but it's a horizontal side-scrolling beat-em-up game. He said, and I quote, he said it was grossly underwhelming and too much reading. It was more like a D&D game. He said, however, Orange Freddy is pretty cool. So the basic premise of this game is a player takes on the role of an ordinary teenager. And again, three other teenagers could join you. The objective is to scour the vicinity of Elm Street, collecting the bones of the supernatural serial killer Freddy Krueger and dispose of them in the local high school furnace. Sounds to me like a reboot of the E.T. game, to be honest with you.
Okay. Huh. Yeah. I mean, the graphics aren't terrible. I never had this. I had the Jason game, the Friday 13th game, which we will be talking about later, but I never had this one. I'm actually kind of intrigued by the fact that it's a four-player game. That's kind of a big deal for the NES.
Well, I think one thing that will let you down is you battle things such as cats, dogs, skeletons, bats, rats, spiders, zombies, and minotaurs.
Oh, yes.
It forgot the very... So I watched the video of a playthrough of it, and I think the one I'm watching anyways, it like the very first thing that came out was like a snake. And I
oh
started,
yeah sorry
and, I started,
and snakes
yeah I started laughing I like a snake rolled out on the screen and I just was like, what?
Well, Diallo, I know you watched a playthrough of my game that I'm gonna pick, and it's the same problem with mine, which is like you have these weird subpar enemies that you have to fight when all you want to do is fight the big bad, which is in this case Freddy.
Yeah, there's that theme through most of the games that we've all picked, and they're disappointing. And I will let the other games pick before I point out the reason why I think we're all disappointed.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So did any of us play this one outside of Paul? Dustin?
I did not play this one. I was not really familiar with this one at all. I think the four-player thing must not be simultaneous because that's not a thing you can do on the NES.
No.
No, I remember there was some kind of like towards the end, there was some kind of like attachment that you could, I think that you could.
I feel like I remember one for the SNES, but
yeah. So this you could play four players at the same time with the use of the NES four score.
Oh, okay.
NES four score was basically a four. It was a port
that had
four panels on it.
Yeah.
And you could extend the range of the gameplay. So it was more like a novelty game, Dustin. It sounds like, you know, when these new kind of additions would come out to the NES, they'd, oh, well, play this game because it goes well with it. And you're like, okay, are there any others? Nope.
Mm.
The only addition I had was the gamepad, that giant mat that got my fat boy titties moving.
The fat boy titty mat.
Wow.
Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, fat boy titty mat.
That sounds.
I had the.
Yeah. Sounds like a rapper.
It really does.
With some tattoos on his face.
Fat
right?
boy slim.
It's my
and
summer
fat
jam.
Boy titty mat.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to Dustin.
Thank you, Paul, for being here. Just a shout out to you, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
We thought you were here, and you're not. okay. Yes. So. You know, I think it just stands. I just want to set the stage a little bit in the sense that, and I think maybe Diallo may have been alluding to this. I don't want to like spoil anything, but the fact is that we are all movie lovers here, right? We all discuss movies. We all grew up watching movies. I mean, it's the whole basis of you know, it's the core of all of our podcasts. So when it comes to video game adaptations. To me, there is none more disappointing than the Back to the Future video game. Back to the Future, the movie, released in 1985, still remains possibly one of the greatest movies of all time. I would argue it's a flawless movie, you know, and it's dealing with time travel. And that is infamously a tricky thing to deal with. But I think Back to the Future is one of those movies. You can still put it on. You can be totally engrossed. You can still love it. I was so excited for the Back to the Future video game released in 1989. I couldn't wait to see how they would interpret the many scenes, the many characters. You know, how would the music
right.
be?
How well, would Huey Lewis this, and the News fit
oh,
into
this?
Oh, this
great soundtrack. You know, I'm sure that that's going to be licensed. You know, the way that some video games had licensed, you know, similar
like
to
Goonies.
Goonies.
Like, yeah.
Goonies 2, you know, as it's...
Goonies 2.
I guess we missed the first one. I'm still confused about it, but good enough, right? Cyndi Lauper, like that starts the start screen and you're all in. Well, Back to the Future, released by LJN, is one of the most boring games... objectively, I have ever played. It is boring to a fault. It is tedious. You have to basically, you know, Marty is back in time. The whole idea is you're going to go through these different levels. You know, you're going to go to the cafeteria, or not to the cafeteria, to the diner. Basically, you're going to go to the school dance, you're going to meet your mom at school. And it's like, they're all similar modes. The basic levels are like these scrolling, vertical scrolling, you know, where Marty's walking. For some reason, you can pick up a bowling ball and like throw it at, you know, cats. There's always these two guys
what?
Holding like a glass mirror that you can't see for some reason. is, you know, it's never, what's the it's point? Never there. There's just bowling pins that get in your way. You can get on the skateboard, but, you know, who really gives a shit, because it's just the same shit. You're trying to dodge stuff and you're collecting these clocks. Because, you know, the infamous, you know, picture, right? He's up against time. If he alters the past, then he alters his existence. So this picture is constantly fading. You got to keep catching those clocks, because if you don't get those, then the picture will fade. But the picture looks like shit. I mean, it all looks like garbage. You know, there's like a 9-minute level, I feel like, where you're just throwing milkshakes at bullies. It's not even Biff. Like, nothing's identifiable. The music is garbage. Like, it is just, I don't even feel like I wanted to ever give it my all, because I hated it so much, you know? So it was like, well, okay, I'll get to this level. And now I'm still throwing these milkshakes, and who cares? And now you got to do the same thing again. So you got to do it basically like four times. You know, you have your little kind of, you know, quote unquote boss level, or the game mode changes. And then you go through these levels again, these vertical scrolling, and it's just the same thing. And, it's just, who gives a shit? It's just so disappointing. And, you know, I just want to say that the kind of the one positive thing is that in 2010, Telltale Games released one of the greatest, you know, Back to the Future games, with Marty McFly, voiced by AJ LoCascio, who we had on $2 Late Fee. He voices Gizmo in the new Gremlins. Right. Really talented voice actor. He's also Gambit in X-Men 97. If any of you guys watch that.
We know Fern does.
Fern, there you go. But anyway.
He's my zaddy.
That is a very, you know, Telltale was very much about these kind of choose your own adventure, story-driven games. Stayed true to the movie. I felt more kind of vindicated, or just like, you know, at many years later. But
yeah, I played that Telltale game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good, right?
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. Yeah, really. I mean, I like Telltale stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was obsessed with Telltale.
Did you guys play
my belly up?
Did you guys play Wolf Among Us?
Yep, played that one too.
I did play that, and I, you know, as much as you know, in real life I harp on the Walking Dead TV show. I just think it's one of the worst things ever, but the Telltale Walking Dead is actually, to me, better than the comic book, which is really good.
Yes.
So,
the Telltale Walking Dead is the best version of Walking Dead.
Of anything. Totally. It's so good. It's so good.
Did you guys know that I'm in Wolf Among Us? That I voice Flycatcher, the Frog Prince janitor.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's awesome, dude. No, I didn't know that.
That's dope. I'm going to have to pull out my PS3.
Yeah.
Boot up that save file, baby.
Yeah.
So I have that strong sort of connection to that storytelling. You know, it's just, I feel like more games should kind of be like that.
When I worked at a video game localization company in Santa Monica, I actually got to go up to San Francisco and visit the Telltale offices, the studios.
Amazing.
I mean, they were amazing. They were freaking awesome. And then they closed down like 6 months after I was there.
Oh, man. It's like they do, like when you do something so well, it's like we can't have anything this good.
Yeah.
Then everything is terrible.
They're coming back. They are.
Yeah, they are.
You know, I was looking at this Back to the Future NES. I was going through some of the levels, and there's one level where it looks like Marty's in like a classroom, and I think it's his mom.
Yeah, it is.
And like she's like walking up and down the screen and throwing hearts at him, and he's catching the hearts.
He's trying to block them with a book.
Oh, is he blocking?
He's trying to block them. Yes,
he's trying to cock block his mom.
Well, he can't accept her love, right?
Because he's trying to cock block her from him,
right?
From his cock. Okay.
Your love. Yeah, he. It's this is wild. Yeah, that is a book. This is wild. Like, what?
Yeah, I never played this, by the way. And watching some of the playthrough today, I was like, yeah, no, this is garbage. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah,
I never owned it either. I think I was disappointed by so many other games up until that point. I think we had mentioned one offline, Karate Kid was one, and I'm like, oh, that's terrible too. So at that point, I was kind of like just turned off to movie tie-in games altogether, because I automatically assumed they were going to be garbage.
Well, we all four of us lived through E.T. The video game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And whether we owned it or not, it's like, even if you didn't own it, if you had an Atari or anything closely related, you knew it was going to be bad. So you just stayed away from
it. Oh, yeah. No, that spread like wildfire without the internet. Like, everyone knew E.T. the video game was fucking terrible.
Right.
All right. Good. Well, Dustin, good. Well, Dustin, do you remember how you procured it? Was it a gift that you got, or did you spend your hard earned like money on that? Which I don't know. That kind of makes it worse, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's a really good question. Yeah. I think it was a gift, but probably a requested gift. Mm-hmm. I was certainly excited. I mean, I really was.
until you got into it.
Yeah, it's just the kind of game that like nobody wants to play, regardless that it doesn't really connect to the movie. You know, like it connects kind of loosely.
Well, that's not a movie that, especially back then, again, I like the Telltale game, but back then that's not a movie I would have expected a video game based on or wanted. Like it doesn't sort of, you know, I want a story there. And I knew even as a kid that I wasn't going to sort of get that from an 8-bit NES game. And obviously I didn't know that about Telltale games in the future, but that's what I want from a Back to the Future game.
Yeah, right. No, it's like, you know, it's like even if there's not built-in drama, it has to be fun. Like it just has to have playability. You want to, you know, you can't wait to replay it or, you know, get in there and beat a high score. And in this, it's just like, you just don't give a shit. Like it's just so, it's like, oh, is it done yet? I just want to get past this stupid, stupid level.
Well, everything you just said, Dustin, I'm probably going to repeat on mine as well, but we'll get there. Diallo, my man, what's your most disappointing NES game? And do you remember how you acquired it? Who's your daddy and what does he do?
My game was Friday the 13th. I didn't actually own it myself, but I played it a lot because what had happened was I'd go to my grandmother's house and all the cousins, we'd be over there and there was an NES and that game along with Karate Kid was there. And so those were kind of being played a lot. And it, like I said, my backup was going to be Karate Kid, which I actually couldn't because I kind of remember like liking to do some of the moves on there with like the drum roll punch and the kick and stuff. So I kind of didn't, but it still was pretty terrible. The 13th was the other one. And I played it a few times and I just was like, what is this? I did not understand what that game was. Like, right. You know, you sit down, you're going to play Friday the 13th. And then, you're just running through streets and you go into buildings and Jason shows up sometimes.
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. And there was no real, like, rhyme or reason to, like, an objective of what to do. And I really didn't understand it. And, like, I dislike that game so much that when the newer version came out in the last, like, decade, like, I was so tainted from the feeling of that NES game that I was so hesitant to play the new one. And I think I downloaded it and might have played like 5 minutes and started having PTSD. I never really, because I was getting the same vibe, actually. I was just kind of like, where's Jason?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, in that new version, they actually have an 8-bit Jason in there, and his colors are like a flat purple and teal, and they even changed the music. When in that game, I played the fuck out of that, the Friday 13th game, played the hell out of both of them, the NES game and the PS4 one as well. But whenever Jason was nearby, his music would kick in. But if the person was using the 8-bit Jason, it would be the 8-bit music. That was kind of cool.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, the music was, there was a moment, I never played this game, but there was a moment where I heard some of the music and I'm like, oh, this is nostalgic, but I could see this getting boring really fast. and very disappointing.
Which one are you talking? Are you talking about the new one or the old NES one?
I'm talking about the old one.
You
I think
played
that's
the
cool.
Old one?
I never played the old one because I heard like Splatterhouse. Paul in our text thread, Paul was mentioning Splatterhouse. I love that game, but I never played Friday the 13th. Like I again heard the winds calling me and saying, "Don't play this game. don't play this game."
Wasn't Splatterhouse a Master System only game?
It was. Yeah, okay. It was.
That's, and that's why Master I never played
System,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you have a Master System?
I did. I love. At one point, we had a Master System and the NES. I love the Master System. I love the gameplay more, and you could actually screw in a little joystick into the Master System controllers versus it being a flat thing where your thumb can get all jacked up. And I like the variety of games that Sega had, but with the NES, they had so many licensed movie tie-in games, and so many of them were hot garbage, like Friday the 13th. Yeah, I mean, the concept's cool. It's but the game is so bad. Diallo literally got up and left this conversation.
I'm gonna speak last on it because I actually love the Friday 13th NES game, but I understand how bad it is. I do understand. But Dustin, have you ever played this one?
Yes, I owned this game as well. I'm not as well because Diallo had it at his grandma's, but I owned it, and it was one of those. Here's what I'll say that's good about it. It had some really good jump scares. You know, for me, you never knew when he was gonna arise. The bad side of this game, I think, was that the amount of, it was like an investment in your time because you know, you could choose the different counselors, right? And they were in different places. And I really enjoyed that along Crystal Lake, along the camp and stuff. But you could only throw these little rocks at Jason. And you had to work your way up to like knives and stuff.
A big
so
rock?
Basically,
oh, okay.
So basically, Jason will appear in random spots, but then you'll also meet him in these battles when you go inside bunks and you go inside caves, and you never know when you're gonna, you know, open.
Yeah, because there's kind of multiple views. Like sometimes it's like a side scroller, and you're fighting zombies that are coming out of the ground, and that's when your rocks are okay. And then Jason will come through occasionally, but then you'll go into a cabin to explore to find resources or weapons, and then it kind of goes to like a behind the shoulder view, and Jason's sort of in front of you, and the sprites are big in that view. Like he's a very big sprite on the screen, which I always liked as a kid. But like Dustin's saying, it's like
big sprite alert.
But like Dustin's saying, there's no save. And so you have to kind of do this all in one sitting, or you pause and you turn your TV off. But it takes so long to get strong enough to fight Jason that, I mean, you've literally already spent like half of your Saturday afternoon just getting there. And then he just wipes you out. And when he wipes you out, you're done. It's
you're
over.
Done. You're done.
Let me ask a quick question, though. Did it have a Minotaur in it?
No, but it does have his mom's flying head.
It has his
it.
Mom's like Medusa flying head. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, which looks very much like a sprite out of Castlevania.
Totally does. Okay. You know, I think too. I like that the different counselors, like some counselors could jump really high. Some were
different
super
attributes.
Fast. Some was, you know, could throw a little bit harder. But still, like you're hitting him with these rocks. Over the course of hours, it just felt like hours, and like his health meter's like barely ticking off, and you're like, I'm never gonna get him. And then he slowly wipes out your counselor team, and
so yeah. I got him once.
Oh, yeah.
You have to kill him, quote unquote, kill him multiple times. So the first time I killed him, and they all take the same amount of effort to kill him, and he'll kind of like, you guys, it's cool, a cutscene where he's kind of sprawled out a little bit, and then his head's like cocked to the side, and then it's like the head kind of pops up, and then it's all it is rinse and repeat. So as a kid, I was aware that this wasn't the best Nintendo game that I ever played. I was aware that it's not the best game design, but I was such a ravenous Jason Voorhees fan growing up in the 80s that I didn't care. It's complete blinders, like on my end, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to play it now, like, because I know how punishingly hard it is, and I don't have the patience for it now. But I played it begrudgingly back then.
Begrudgingly. I get it though, and that actually ties into my pick too as well.
Perfect. Well, you're next, so go for it.
Yeah, so in 1985, a Japanese manga-inspired toy line came out in the United States. In Japan, it was known as Kinkeshi. In the United States, it was known as Muscle, M-U-S-C-L-E, which stood for... actually, that they don't say. So never mind.
They don't say.
It stood for... God damn it. So when it came out in the United States, this was a wrestling-themed anime. And you guys know I love wrestling. Obviously, Territory Marks, one of my... loves in life is 80s wrestling, and cartoon characters came to life on this, in these manga comic books, and then these little pink figures came out and they were huge when they hit the United States. In total there were over 236 different characters that came out in this toy line. There was a board game, and then there was an NES game. There were a lot of tie-ins from this toy line that came out as well. But in 1986, Nintendo released Tag Team Match, M-U-S-C-L-E, the video game. I was... a huge mark for it. I was like, I'm getting this. I don't care if it's good or not. I want to own it because it's got to have at least 20 characters in the game. There's 236 characters, right? All these different really cool characters. A lot of them, by the way, were based on actual wrestlers like Dusty Rhodes and Terry Funk and Stan Hansen, wrestlers that wrestled over in Japan, and Abdullah the Butcher. The announcer looked like Gordon Solie. For wrestling fans, they know that he's like a, Diallo knows this. This guy's like a god when it comes to wrestling announcers. But this game comes out from Nintendo and it sucks. It's terrible. It's got two modes. It's got single player and then it's got a tag team player mode. Out of the 236 characters, you get 8.
Are they cool?
So the characters that you get are Terry Man, Ramen Man, Ramen Man, Buffalo Man, Wars Man, Arshiram Man, Brocken Jr., and Geronimo. They all, regardless of whether they're cool characters, they all pretty much look the same. They look like someone took Play-Doh, mashed it together, and went, look at the figure I made. Isn't this cool? They look terrible. It's some of the worst 8-bit animation I've ever seen. You know, the NES released NES Wrestling, I think, and that had like Starman, and that was very popular.
Oh, the
that
pro wrestling game, right?
Pro wrestling, yeah. That was pretty cool. This one sucked because it was just so like amateurish. The moves were very basic. They were very, very clunky. There was no object to the game, to the game. I've said on a previous episode of Podcasting After Dark, I loved the game Champion Wrestler, the arcade game, because there was a goal to it. You got the belt at the end, you know. There was
love
a cage match. This was the same match every single time. Officially, this game has 255 rounds possible to play. And it is believed that the maximum score one can get in this game is 99,999,999 points. But it's unknown because no one ever achieved that. It was a huge bummer, huge letdown. How I acquired this game at this stage in my life, my mom would take me to
Toys R Us. You found it on the sidewalk, like the rest of your toys.
Exactly. No, my mom
dusted it off. Put it under your pillow.
Callback.
Nice callback to a previous episode. My mom would take me to Toys R Us. I could pick out a figure, or I could like save up. Right. This was like 4 or 5 weeks of saved up figures, and I splurged and got this video game, and I was thoroughly let down by it, thoroughly disappointed. I maybe played it 2 or 3 times, and then that was it. The end of Muscle, the tag team game.
Zach, Muscle stands for millions of unusual small creatures lurking everywhere.
Thank you, Diallo. Thank you for researching and finding that. I appreciate it. Did any of you guys play this game?
No, my extent of wrestling games on the NES was that pro wrestling game. I loved, who was, Diallo, what was the guy with the piranha head or something? He'd bite you or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah, the green guy. Yeah. I can't remember his name.
That was my dude. Yeah. That's a guy that I liked because I like to put you in the headlock and then bite your head and everything.
I only remember Fighter Hayabusa. That's the only name I remember.
It was the Amazon from Parts Unknown, which served as the inspiration for Blanka, apparently, in Street Fighter 2.
Oh, very cool. Oh, awesome.
There's Fighter Hayabusa, Giant Panther, Kin Korn Karn, King Slender.
No relation to Kim Karn.
Yeah, Starman and the Amazon.
Starman, yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
There's a rumor, by the way, that they're going to turn that into a bigger, like, they're bringing that game back and potentially a movie.
Did you, that's cool. Did you start that rumor just now?
No.
Trump says it, you're like, you're so mad, but it's that easy. I mean, we could be like, hey, guys, did you hear
Starman? I was talking to Paul about it. Paul was, because there's...
Yeah, you and Paul have had a lot of conversations for a guy who's never here, Paul.
True.
For a guy we might have made up, Paul.
Is he even real?
Right. We're going back to that one.
Oh, Figment of my
imagination. Paul could weigh in on this. He's a wrestler. He could weigh in so much about this. I like how we're just talking about the other wrestling game. We're like, this is the good one. Because none of us played this terrible one.
No, but the muscle, did anybody, well, I kind of feel like we could devote a whole episode of 80s Kids Unite to the muscle toy line.
I think so too,
and
because
I would love it if a patron would suggest that. So if you are a patron or want to become a patron, go to patreon.com/$2 late fee or patreon.com/podcastingafterdark. Sign up today to be a part of 80s Kids Unite.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to disappear like our boy Paul when you do that episode because I don't know anything about those figures at all.
Oh, no, I'm going to give you some. We're going to play with them. We're going to do a live episode.
No, I think you're right, though. I think there's enough meat on the bones to discuss that because we can, you know, talk about its origins in Japan and stuff. But me personally, I don't know actually much about muscles as well. I had a lot. Like, I actually, you know, physically had the little toys because you can get a lot.
I don't know a lot about muscles, but I tried to.
But I had a lot of muscles.
I was on the treadmill a lot, though.
And I want to point this out, too, in the game. Really quickly to circle back to the game, there was, of the moves that you could get, each character had a signature move, and in order to use that signature move, you had to get an energy ball, which was basically just a white ball or a colored ball, and it was thrown into the ring by a character called Meat. He was Kinnikuman's trainer, Meat Alexandria. His name was Meat, a little boy named Meat, which is problematic, I think, in 1986 and now.
Interesting. Pederast.
I mean, there's never been a wrestling game I've met that I didn't like. But I never I never even heard of this game or played it. And I was looking at it, and it looks, I don't know, like it lines up with a lot of the wrestling games of the era. But it also kind of, like, my idea about all of our picks, it fits in that all of our picks are like, you know, movie adaptations, or in this case, it's like a version of a game and
the manga and in toy line.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, and like reading comic books, I always had this experience where you could always tell when there was like a comic book adaptation of a movie, I knew it wasn't going to be worth me buying it. Because they never had like the good artists, on the book, and it just, I don't know, the art just, I mean, it looked like worse than, you know, than normal, and it's just sort of like, you know, these are kind of money grabs, you know, because there are some adaptations of you know, movies and other things that actually ended up being good, but I just feel like, you know, they like. If you're sort of like forced to make this game because it already exists, I think that's like the quality control or something's not there. You're just like putting out whatever, you know?
Yeah, and I think at this stage in the game, you know, we already had arcade wrestling games, and I understand there's obviously a difference between an arcade game versus the NES, but the NES, there was a pro wrestler game for Sega Master System that was pretty decent, so I thought, this is gonna be probably okay, right? This might be as good as Champ Pro Wrestler, the NES game. It was dog shit. I mean, it was so, like, disappointing, and I think, like you guys, you know, whether it's wanting to hear the soundtrack from a movie in the video game or have a little bit more interaction with the protagonist or the antagonist, you know, like this was just so bare minimum. And for like 236 potential characters and they choose 8. And I get that they don't have a whole lot of gameplay in there, but still like so disappointing. And there was no outcome. There was no like championship mm-hmm. belt. There was nothing to achieve. You just play endless levels and it's like, what's the point of that? What's the fun in that?
Point is 999,900,000, you know, that's the point. Get the points.
But no one ever did it.
So there you go. Dustin, we haven't chimed in on this one yet.
Yeah, I mean, I just learned about this game today. I mean, I know I'm always saying that as a joke, but I've never heard of this game.
Wow.
Ever. And yeah, I like the muscles, you know.
Yeah, I know you like
muscles. I like muscles. You like some muscles.
But I, no, it doesn't look fun. It looks like a lot of guys like hopping over. It's like a lot of like hopping over each other.
Yeah, it's just hopping. You
boing,
can shove people.
Boing. Like, and if you're saying that every match is the same, again, I just have that. I have a problem with that. I just have like these games where they don't,
yeah.
You know, like you're limited sometimes by the amount of graphical processing power and that kind of thing. But there are plenty of 8-bit games that are incredible, you know?
Right.
And it's just disappointing. It just seems like LJN in particular, and I know this isn't an LJN game, but it just seems like
this
them in particular,
Bandai, but still.
They're just kind of like shitting out these games, you know, they're getting the license and they're just shitting out these games. But that's interesting, right? That they did have the actual license, so that would make it more, your anticipation would be higher. Because it's not just like,
right.
You know, oh, it seems like it's a muscle knockoff or something. It's actual
yeah,
muscle.
Yeah, it looked like that.
Yeah.
But it was not, yeah, you would think it would be an actual, you know, but it was terrible.
And Bandai still has a game division too, I think even to this day.
They do.
Okay.
It's possible, actually, that this was this on the back of comic books. Maybe I'm kind of remembering an advertisement.
Yes.
Looking at
I kind
the
of
box.
Feel like it
yeah.
was.
Yeah,
I remember the ad.
There was a
yeah.
big commercial push for Muscle when it came out in the United States, and I think it was pretty popular for that year, maybe a year and a half.
This this wrestler that I'm looking at, he looks like what's his name, Corsair from like Scott Summers' dad in X-Men. Like he's got the
one of the
mullet.
Starjammers.
Yeah, Starjammers. Yeah, he's got like he's got the mullet and he's got the big stash.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just
I love
weird.
That they were.
I just bring that up because it's so specific. Like,
yeah, some
like,
of the figures
the
were very, yeah, very specific, yeah. Very specific, and I think that's what appealed to me as well with the potential. But then I was thoroughly let down.
Wow, there were so many. I mean, I had a bunch of cool ones that I liked. But I didn't know the backstory on them, so I kind of didn't really play with them too much. But there were some ones I thought were really neat. I was like, this guy looks cool. All right. Well, mine is not an LJN one. Mine's actually an Activision title. But like,
bring us home, Corey. Bring us home.
I mean, do we really want to go home to any of these games?
No. Don't bring us home.
Let's stay out here. Out here in the world talking. And, you know, like a lot of our other ones, mine is a movie adaptation, and it's an adaptation of one of the greatest action movies of all time, and I'm talking about 1987's Predator, and I'm also talking about the NES game with the same name. So basically, it was a side-scrolling action shooter, although I think you're punching in it more than you're actually shooting, and you kind of have to, it takes place technically maybe after your entire team is dead, you know, in the movie, and Dutch is by himself, and he's kind of has to make his way through the jungle, but here you're fighting, oh god, you're fighting scorpions, you're fighting snakes, you're fighting the occasional gorilla, you're usually punching them all, but then you get deeper into the jungle, and you start coming across everything from little blobs with eyeballs that look like straight out of like Mario to other creatures that look out of like Metroid. And then you eventually come to fight floating predator heads. And then you, I actually thought this was kind of cool, but by level 5 or 6, you go into these like big mode stages where you get to actually play this huge, you know, Dutch sprite and you go fights against the predator. Actually, only thing good about this game is the predator itself, like that character sprite actually looks really good, even though he doesn't really do much. He kind of just flails around a little bit. But like Dustin was saying with Back to the Future, it was such a slog to get to where you wanted to get to, which at least in, you know, unlike Back to the Future, at least in Predator, you know, you know what you want to get to. You want to get to fighting the Predator. But it was such a slog to get there. I'm sitting here watching a 30-minute playthrough video. The guy doesn't die, so it's like a no-die playthrough. So it takes 30 minutes to beat the game if you know what you're doing. And you don't even see the Predator until like 10 minutes in, a third of the way through the game. It is, and then just watching the game design and everything, it is abysmal. All I remember is I hated it. I would pop it in occasionally and be like, maybe it's not as bad as I remember. And this, you know, this would be like 6 months later. And I'd be like, nope, still fucking terrible. And I remember, like, I don't know if I ever made it to the Predator, but I know he existed, maybe because if he was on the back of the box, or I saw it in a Nintendo Power or something, but maybe I made it to him once. Maybe. I can't remember. All I know is this was the definition of disappointment. I hated this game.
Yeah, I will say I played it at my friend Jason's house, and we both were like, what is this? You know, there was Data East was a really good video game company. They
Bad
released
dudes.
The RoboCop game.
Bad dudes,
and
yeah.
Bad dudes, but you know, as far as movie tie-ins are
Double
concerned,
Dragon, right?
Double Dragon, yeah. RoboCop though was like a great adaptation of the, and I think they might have did. I think they might have did the Aliens game in the arcade. I'm not sure. I could be wrong. Anyways, like my expectations for Predator were pretty simple. Like, oh, okay, we're gonna be able to play all the characters in the movie, right? No. You know, is this going to have like the terrorists that they in the jungle? Is that scene? No. You know, is there a Minotaur in this? No. You know, it was so disappointing. And
are there little blob like creatures that look like they're from Dragon Warrior?
Right.
Yes.
Like, come on. You know, like I get it. And we talked about this. You know, you can't always have things translate well. But the floating head. I mean, yeah, it's cool looking. But what's the point of that? Like. Where was their floating head? Come on, have like a tracking game where you have to track a laser beam or something. I don't know.
Track
yeah, thoroughly
a laser
disappointed.
Were you a cat?
No, like the you know with the
predator's
with
the like Dutch has to actually.
Yeah, predator's got the thing. Right. Yeah, you got to dodge the laser. How about that? A laser dodging scene. You know? I don't know. It was bad. Yeah, I agree. It was very bad.
Yeah,
it's this game's funny because it's sort of like yeah, I can see how they it's very Contra-esque.
Yeah, or wants
you know?
To be. Yeah.
Yeah, and so
wants to be, yeah.
And it's kind of like if this didn't have the name Predator on it, we might accept this game a little more. Maybe I still think the gameplay is like lacking. You put a different story around this, you relate to all this weirdness in the game a little bit differently. But it's funny because like when you get to like the end with the Predator head. And after you beat it, it shows you like a sequence from the movie, right? So it's like all the stuff that you're playing is sort of like this interpretive dance version. It's like a musical where like everything stops so you can get this altered reality of some conversation that's really boring, and then when that dance number's over, it goes back to reality. That's what this game is. So all of this stuff is like a fever dream in between the sequences of the actual movie, which they show you clips of, or like not clips of, but like little stills with dialogue. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Predator.
That's actually a great way to sum it up, dude. Seriously. Wait, did you ever play it?
No, I never. I think I just saw it in the back of comic books.
Yeah.
This is the first I'm actually like, seeing it. So,
okay. So
summing up this playthrough,
yeah,
you know, Contra we could say is really probably one of the best Nintendo games of all time. I mean,
of all time,
yeah,
you know,
totally.
what 80s kid out there doesn't know up, up, down, down, left, right, right? BA, BA, start or select start if it's two player. And and while I agree with you, Diallo, right, it's like at first glance it is like, oh yeah, it's totally like Contra. I rented this game thinking, right, we're going to have another, we're going to have a good experience. You know, the graphic opening where you see Arnold Schwarzenegger, like he's, you see him, like they've licensed him. He's there. And to your point, Corey, it's like, there's nothing more disappointing than Dutch doesn't have a gun.
Yep. Yep.
He's punching shit in the jungle.
Oh my God. Like, yeah.
What is this? Like, who thought this would be fun? And so it's, right. And it's kind of like the Friday the 13th. It's like, you have to work your way up to these abilities and guns and other things. But why not just start with a gun? Why not just start with some stuff?
He's shooting, but you can't see him with the gun. I think that's what's happening here.
No, he's punching. How about a knife? He's punching.
You start off punching.
Yeah, he starts off punching.
Oh, you get the gun later.
Yeah. You get a gun later. It's like power-ups, but they're kind of sparse. Okay.
Huh. What, and not even a knife. Like, why not a knife? Because he had a, you know, the stick around. Like, why not have that?
Totally agree. This,
you can't, you know, what, Marty McFly is catching hearts and the Predator is, Arnold Schwarzenegger is punching things and like, what's going on, you know?
He's punching spiders.
It reminds me of the game design, like, back in the day, and I mean back in the day, like last gen or something like that, sometimes in action games, I always hated it where you couldn't like reload as you were running. And like as a society, like a gaming society, like we've just gotten rid of that because it's more fun. We've honed in on what's not fun and what is fun. And you had to kind of go through all of these games, like as a collective, you know, we had to go through all of these games to kind of get to what's actually fun. And I thought about this today when I was playing Helldivers, like played around and my character's running and I'm reloading the gun. And I'm like, man, I remember like, you know, Call of Duty, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 way back in the day where like you couldn't run and reload at the same time. And I was always like, that was kind of lame. Now no one cares about that shit because fun is what matters. And I think a lot of the games, you know, like the ones we're talking about here, aside from all these little wonkiness things to them about like, why are we fighting a snake, you know, when it's Nightmare on Elm Street or when it's Friday the 13th or something like that. But I think at the end of the day, what the problem is you have all these people like in a room overthinking it, being like, we have to throw this at them. They have to be constantly engaged. And it's like the simple answer is just do this and then make it fun and we'll all be happy.
Right.
Are you talking about the makers of Red Dead Redemption 2?
I never played it. I have no interest in playing that.
No, it's like I go through these phases. It's like very manic where like, this game is amazing. But then I'm like, I hate this game so much because like it does what you're talking about. Like sometimes it gets so like pedantic with certain elements of it that it's not fun. Yep. Like it's not fun for me to have to walk through something or I'm running. I just want to run. Right.
Yeah.
And it makes me stop or I go into this town and I bumped into somebody and the next thing I know, I'm like getting arrested and the cops are it's like too much. And I just want to be able to just do the fun things and not be so tied down with this idea of realism that I think they were trying to go for. And that's kind of what it sounds like you're talking about here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, fun should always be the first thing you strive for in a video game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that scene in Big when, you know, when John Hurt is trying to explain like about the
skyscraper
in the toy meeting,
transform.
Right? The skyscraper and like, but he doesn't give a shit because he doesn't know what a kid really wants. And then Baskin, you know, does. And because he's a kid and like, did they ever test these on kids? I want to know if they like, did they have a test audience for them or did they just churn this out and say people will buy it? Like Dustin, he's going to rent Predator because he likes the movie and he's not going to care what's on the game. He's just going to play it because it's Predator.
I think you answered the question right there.
Yeah. No, you know, these guys didn't give a shit. Now they kind of give more of a shit.
Yeah.
So
it's like those repetitive games where the level, you know, you're advancing in a level and like just the smallest little change has happened where it's like the same exact mechanics and everything else, but maybe the bad guys are like ladybugs instead of, you know, beetles or something.
Right.
And you're just like, well, and we've made it like orange instead of blue. Like, so it's a subtle thing, but it's still boring, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, now we've gotten into this place where like these open world games, you know, maybe there is too much sometimes because you're like, I want to follow the A story. But there's something for everybody because it's like, oh, if you're like somebody who likes the minutia and you want to go around and collect flowers for 17 hours, you know, so you can collect them all and achieve that goal, then more power to you. I've never had any interest in that kind of stuff, you know.
And I will say, too, I'm looking forward to when we have the discussion about our favorite Nintendo games, because I'm actually more curious now. Because this discussion about these four games, there are a lot of games that were very similar to all of these games back in the day. So I'm curious to find out from you guys, like, what is that favorite, at least one favorite that stands out that's different from these monotonous, repetitive games?
Yeah, no, you're right, because we're going to, you know, we all just mentioned it. I think Dustin said it first, but, like, you know, Predator is just, it's supposed to be a Contra clone, but why does Contra work and this doesn't? And yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of have this, the other side of this conversation sometime down the road. So Rob, thank you, you know, for this suggestion. I don't know if this is exactly what you were envisioning, but I hope that the conversation was enjoyable. I had fun with it, but I do think that our favorites are, it's going to be a lot longer. It's going to be another 2 hour plus episode if we're going to do our favorites.
As Dustin's feed suddenly cuts out, he's like, I'm done.
I can't hear you.
And I will say this to you, Robert Ortiz. By the way, thank you again for suggesting the topic, Robert. But I will say, are any of these games a game you like? And if they are, tell us why. To everybody listening out there, go on our socials, Podcasting After Dark, $2 Late Fee, Territory Marks, Galacta Actually. Go on our socials and let us know what you guys think. What's your least favorite game? Or what's your favorite that happens to be not favorable by everybody else?
Yeah. I mean, I like the Friday 13th game, but again, I was very aware that it wasn't the best thing that's ever been made. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we all have that, right? Yeah. Like, you know, movies and stuff. There's games that I know I played over and over again that people might hate, but in particular, I just remember that Friday the 13th game was just, nah. And all my cousins, we all had the same like thought about it.
Because the reward system isn't great, you know what I mean? You can't sit down with your cousins unless you're going to spend the entire day with them on this.
Yeah, like I didn't know what I was doing,
Diallo, do you think it would help the game at all, you know, not changing the design of the game or anything, but do you think it would help it at all if we could actually save it, put it down, and then, you know, come back to it? Would that have changed your mind at all about it?
No, you know, one thing I was thinking, like, you know, we're kind of ripping these games. I don't have an answer to what you're saying specifically, but I was thinking about all of these games. And like, if someone was like, you have to make a game based on whatever this property is, I don't know that I was thinking about it. It's like, I don't know what I would do. So I think like these people, they made a choice, but it's like, how do you even make a, I don't know, how do you even make a Predator game? How do you make a Back to the Future video game in NES world where it's 8-bit, you know? Like, and so I cut them some slack a little. I played a lot of bad games. I had a Commodore 64, played like a ton of games that just, you know, they were just out here raw dogging the computer code.
I think raw
dogging that COBOL, that BASIC.
I think, Corey, what you're saying, I think that has potential. If these games did have a save option, that might make it a little bit more enjoyable, possibly, because it at least allows you to put the controller down and walk away from it, like Legend of Zelda did. Yeah. But no. And Friday the 13th, like, you know, there's no signature kills. There's couples hooking up. There's like, and Jason killing them. There should have been like a cutaway scene. I know it's 8-bit, still, you know, Leisure Suit Larry existed at this time, so you could still get away with some things. Yeah. They didn't do any of that. It was like a PG game for an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
That's the fun. That's the other, yeah, that's the other thing that's funny. I think we mentioned this somewhere before, how, oh, like on TV Obscure, actually, where like the cartoons that are based on R-rated yeah. movies. Yeah. And it's like,
I mean, Predator.
Kids shouldn't even yeah. be playing this.
Yeah.
Game.
It shouldn't even be on the radar. But like, as a society, we were all cool with like 8 or 9 year old kids or 7 year old kids watching Predator. Like, as a
yeah,
society.
Yeah. Like RoboCop. Yeah. RoboCop. Yeah. yeah it's good.
I mean,
really
Predator
funny.
Is probably the tamest out of Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th when it comes to like sheer terror for kids.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
but still, they're all R-rated properties.
It's
so,
just, it's
yeah.
just, so funny. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. You know what else is all R-rated properties? All of our podcasts.
So go check them out.
Did you
so
guys, go check them out.
You know, this is, I hate to digress when we're about to wrap up, but did you guys ever play Paperboy?
Yeah. Great
oh,
game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Of course.
That's
Paperboy,
a fun
yeah.
game despite being monotonous.
Yes.
And why is,
that's
and
a
why
really
is
good
that?
Point.
Right? Because you have the clear goal. You got to get through the neighborhood and you want to hit as many mailboxes or porches as possible. And it's
right.
endlessly fun because you're trying to, like, you know, either better yourself or, you know, beat the game. And then you go to the little, the dirt bike ramp and you, you know, get bonus points mm-hmm. and it's super fun. And that to me is like what Back to the Future doesn't have. So like, you know, Diallo, you're like, how would you do it right. differently? Well, I would like start Marty in 1985, for example. You know, I'd maybe have him holding on to the back of a truck with his skateboard. I would have, maybe it could be more Paperboy like or something. He has goals like that. He's late for school. He has to get there in time. There's a clock ticking down, you know, the scene where the Libyans show up. Like, I want to see that stuff.
Yeah, Dawi, you got to see Doc Brown get gunned down
you
in a video
see,
game.
You know what I mean?
No, it. I mean, that simple concept, it could literally be just Marty on his skateboard trying to evade a bunch of Libyan terrorists that are shooting at him down, you know, going around in a loop.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be brain science.
But yeah, like, you know, where Biff is chasing him and he's like holding on to the bat, you know, he just makes a skateboard, like just stuff like that. Like, we're just these little moments of recognition. Like, there's the movie. I, you know, I'm excited again. That's
yeah,
it.
No, you could have totally made it into like an endless runner, you know, kind of like Paperboy and all those other games. Yeah. So,
gotta go back in time.
But you know what's never monotonous? I'll try this again. You know what's never monotonous? All of our podcasts. So go out there, check out $2 Late Fee, Territory Marks, Galactica Actually, another review you didn't ask for, Podcasting After Dark, $2 Late
Watch them twice.
Yeah, you got those already. You got those already.
TV Obscura.
So good, you got to listen to it again and again.
TV
just
Obscura.
Like, Back to the
Cats
Future.
And dogs.
That's right.
Living together. Mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. So thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to all the patrons who've submitted ideas and everything. Keep them coming. We got the list going and we'll keep on, you know, dipping into them. And they're always fun. And I'm always having a good time, even if we're talking about hot garbage, like fucking Predator,
hot garbage,
and Muscle, and Back to the Future, and Friday the 13th, and A Nightmare on Elm Street, the NES games.
Yes, and a little bit of Muscle.
I said Muscle.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I
just wanted to give
muscle.
A little bit more Muscle.
A little more Muscle for your Muscle?
Yes. Can I have some Muscle for my Muscle? Yes, you can.
How do we end this? Do we
I just end it like that?
That's it. We're out.
'80s Kids Unite is brought to you by Hungry Hungry Hippos, the loudest tabletop game in history. And by Nickelback, Zach's favorite band. If you'd like to suggest topics for this show, go to the Patreon of either $2 Late Fee or Podcasting After Dark, or both. All links are in the show notes. We love you.